from KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. On air and online, this is Intersection.
Hello and welcome to Intersection, where people and ideas meet online and on KBIA. I'm Ryan Famuliner. Google and Yahoo, two of the tech giants, released data this year that showed a significant minority of their employees are female, 37% at Yahoo and 30% at Google. And separating that data even further, it showed that only 17% of employees in tech jobs at Yahoo and 15% at Google, the rest in non-technical jobs. Only that minority was women. These numbers mirror other data. Only 18% of college degrees in computer science went to women in 2012, down from 35% in 1985. This data, and a number of high-profile incidents that some point to as evidence of sexism in the tech industry, have sparked a national discussion about this phenomenon. Today on Intersection, we'll talk about it and about some of the possible causes and solutions. In studio today, we have Kaylee Cornelison. Cornelison, she's a web and application developer in Columbia. Kaylee, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. And then Fong Wong is an assistant professor in the computer science department at the University of Missouri. Fong, welcome to the Intersection.
Thank you for having me.
And joining us by Skype today is Anita Raj. Raj is a spokesperson for the national mentoring organization Women in Tech, also known as WIT. Anita, thanks for being with us today. All right. And for you and our audience, what do you think about the male dominance in the tech field? We'd like to hear what you think. Give us a call at 573-882-8925 or email intersection at kbia.org. You can also tweet us at intersectkbia. So I guess just to start off, if we could, Kaylee and Fong, if you could tell us a little bit just about your stories, about how you got into the tech industry, into these jobs, and what brought you here, I guess.
Should I start?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I mean, everyone makes life choices for what may or may not be the best reasons. I actually got into tech because of someone I was dating, who was a programmer, and I got kind of interested in what he had going on, and I kept bugging him to sort of, you know, show me what he was doing. And he, it's too complicated, you won't get it. And eventually I bothered him so much that he handed me just this giant stack of books and said, okay, you wanted to get into this, here you go. Why don't you check out this massive chunk of information?
Mm-hmm.
So about a week later, when I had finished that massive, like, six-book stack, I came back to him, and I was actually pretty good at it, and I really enjoyed it. And I started looking into classes. I changed my major over from I was music composition.
Oh, wow, and, so quite a difference, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's a very analytic field, the both of them.
Sure.
So, and then saw nothing but success from there.
So is there any reason you could point to of why it was something you never thought of before you'd gotten into college age, I guess?
I mean, it's not that I never thought about it. I mean, one of the things that I often think about is when I was in seventh grade, you know, we had those graphing calculators that you could write programs on, and I actually wrote a game on one. It was the dumbest thing. It was pick a random number between 1 and 10. You know, the computer's thinking of a number, and you got two guesses, and I did it with, you know, there was a high score thing where you could leave three initials, and I ended up, by the end of seventh grade, had it on every single graphing calculator in our class, and people loved it, but I never really saw it as something that, you know, moving forward, there weren't really any classes, there weren't really any opportunities. I was interested in taking, there was a C+ certification at my class, at my school, but I would have had to block out both of my elective periods for it, and I was doing band, and I was involved in music, and so that wasn't really an option.
I see. There just wasn't really a path for it.
Not really.
And then, Fong, what about you as far as why you decided to pursue this career?
So I had my undergrad study in China, so I grew up in China. So my dad is an engineer, so he influenced me a lot. Also, during my school years, I find out I did well in physics, in math, and I was considered smart, so I feel very good. So naturally, I just went to engineer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so, I guess, too, Anita, we've got you on the line, too. Yeah, for you, too, any particular path that brought you to this industry?
Not really, because let me tell you, I started my career in the early 80s. And right from my childhood days, I noticed that I had a passion for engineering. My father being an electronics engineer, I used to be always his assistant for anything that was broken and he was fixing. And then it was always there in my mind that I would be doing something in engineering. So it was sort of a natural transition that happened because I was in school good at science, technology, I mean, and math. And when I graduated, I took up computer science as my major and graduated in computer science. And as soon as I graduated, I found a job. And later on in life, I actually did management as well. So it was a natural transition for me to take computer science as a graduate student and then work in the tech industry right from my early 80s and then move on and work for HP and many other consulting firms that I did and later started my business in 2003. I do have a business which is called Arar Technology and we provide advanced roles with agile responsibilities. We are actually helping our clients innovate technology and help our clients excel in their business. My business is mainly focused on program management, enterprise architecture, and business intelligence strategy. So joining Women in Technology was a transition, and I see these two young ladies having come into this field. It makes us feel proud that Women in Technology associations are meant for encouraging women to join tech industry right from classroom to encouraging women to go to the board level.
Sure.
So I'm really happy to share my experience with you this afternoon.
Sure. Great, Anita. And I wonder, too, you mentioned that you got into it in the 80s. How have things changed since then, I guess? A lot of data showed that while it was still a minority of women in the industry in the 80s, that number has still dropped. I mean, it was in the 30% of women in computer and engineering type jobs, and it's down much lower, as you mentioned in the intro. What do you think has changed since then?
Let me tell you a couple of things. One is when I started in my industry, I was definitely one of the few sole women in the room. I never felt it that way because I never looked at it from a women's perspective. I just saw, okay, I am in the industry that I love. It is computer science and it is technology industry, and I would love to do things in this industry. I never looked at it from a female perspective of it. However, my colleagues were mainly male, and I used to be the only single woman in the room. And then one day my CEO addressed the meeting saying that, "Welcome, gentlemen, and Anita." And that's when I realized, okay, that's how people perceive me. And that's when, you know, started looking at, you know, looking around to see, obviously, there were not too many women. Now, coming to the second point, today, it's been 3 decades later, when we talk about the percentages, yes, the percentages have drastically reduced in terms of the women graduating from tech subjects or engineering subjects in college and also in the workforce development area. But these are just percentages. But if you really look at the total number of women, they have actually gone up. The reason being, computer science as a subject has also evolved over years. In the 80s, if you did anything with computers, you would categorize and fit everybody into a computer science field and say, okay, this person is a computer professional. Whereas today, computer science is being used as a tool and being used for many, many other areas other than engineering or pure computer science. So there has been a little difference in the way statistics are taken. So when you say computer science, are you really actually working towards creating technology? Yes, that is computer science. But if you are looking at computer science as a tool, then they are not considered as computer science. Whereas if you really see, most women tend to use computer science or computers as a tool. And it is the men who actually enjoy creating computer-related hardware or software or firmware. So that is slightly the difference that I see today.
Okay. Yeah. And Fong, I wonder your impression, too, as an educator in this field, too. Some of the issue we're talking about here, you know, the challenges now of seeing that proportion of women in the tech industry increase. What are some of the things that you see, I guess, at the college level where you're seeing some students come in and thinking about this as a career?
Well, I think I did my education back in China and both in the States. I see the difference, the culture difference, and the effects of it. Mm-hmm. Nothing bad or good, but back in China, for instance, if you are good in science or, I mean, in math or physics or those subjects in high school, you are considered smart genius. But I think over here, probably you are not as, you know, considered as popular, mm-hmm. not very cool, someone who is not very social, probably are the people who are doing those. So that's one aspect. Other than that, in fact, I also work in industry. I did actually work in Motorola and later on in Ansys. So I have to say that, yes, I mean, there are really very, the work environment I had entered, there are very few women. And I think it's kind of, I would say, like, if I look at the girls entering those fields, they're probably looking, look like very daunting for someone who is looming to enter such field. Mm-hmm. So I feel like probably encouragement and some culture are the things that will affect mm-hmm. for girls entering the
field. Kaylee, you've recently entered the field. Does it feel daunting?
You know, that honestly hasn't been my experience.
Yeah?
I've had, you know, nothing but positive experiences with the vast majority of groups I've been able to interact with. And, I mean, there's always kind of that sort of back tone to the conversation. I get, I've had this conversation with a lot of, you know, other recent graduates. We all get, you know, the recruiting emails. Everybody gets recruiting emails, so many recruiting emails from people you've never heard of in places you'd never want to go to. And I'd say, you know, probably 30% of them always wrap up with, and we're so excited to find such a promising female candidate. Mm. And I just delete them. Because, I mean, it's as soon as someone I feel like is actively pursuing me in industry specifically because I'm female, that's we've already lost that fight.
Why does it feel that way to you? Feel condescending or something?
Oh, I mean, it's nothing intentional, but I don't want to be hired someplace because not only do I not want to be, you know, the token woman filling their demographic, but I don't want to work at the kind of place that's going to actively pursue people for no other reason than because they fill a demographic. You know, I'd like to work with, you know, people who honestly, you know, who fit the culture, who are, you know, best and brightest in their field. And when you say, well, we'd like to hire the best and brightest and then also some women, I just don't see that as the kind of environment I'd like to work.
Let me take a moment to remind our audience, this is Intersection, a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. I'm Ryan Famuliner, and today we're talking about women in tech fields. There's a significantly smaller proportion of women in these careers in the U.S. than men, and we're talking about some of the possible causes and solutions. In studio today, we have Kaylee Cornelison. She's a web and application developer in Columbia. Fong Wong is an assistant professor in the computer science department at the University of Missouri. And joining us by Skype is Anita Raj. Raj is a spokesperson for the national mentoring organization Women in Tech, also known as WIT. And for you in our audience, what do you think maybe some of the causes for the disparity between the amount of women and men in tech? Share your thoughts. Give us a call at 573-882-8925 or email intersection@kbia.org. You could also tweet us at intersectkbia. Anita, I wonder your perspective on that, what Kaylee was just mentioning, that you know, she doesn't really feel right about when someone is reaching out to her because she may fit a quota. What do you think about that phenomenon and just on the national scale too, I guess, how important that is?
Definitely. I can totally relate to what Kaylee is saying, because at that point in my life, I would have felt the same. But I would like to tell one thing to Kaylee. Hey, you are in the tech industry, and when you are being pursued because you're a female, take that opportunity and jump, because opportunities do come, and see if that opportunity is encouraging you to do what you want to do as a technologist. If that is there, irrespective of how it comes, if it comes because you're a female, jump it and take it, because you are actually looking at the opportunity to do well in that particular area. So that is the way I would look at it today, because back in the 80s, nobody would even think of, you know, saying, hey, because you're a female, I'm hiring you. They would actually tend to go only to the male force. So I feel blessed being born a woman, because not only do we get to do what the men can do because you have a passion already in the technology industry, however, today the push is so much to encourage women into this field. Go ahead and grab that opportunity. For example, let me tell you, there are companies, organizations giving special funding for women entrepreneurs. Google, for example, has a 40 forward kind of initiative where they are giving a $1 million incentive spread across 40 tech accelerators to only women who want to do or excel or set up a business in the tech industry. So I would say if that kind of an opportunity comes, you should grab it because they are giving it only to female. So grab it and embrace that. And I want to go back and talk about women in technology. This is another area that we are encouraging women to be, you know, more out there in terms of providing opportunities in the tech industry. We have, in women in technology, we have many streams in terms of how we provide this opportunity and how we encourage girls to take more interest in the tech industry. First and foremost, that you mentioned women in technology, we do provide mentoring as an option for women in the professional area where women mentor women one-on-one. So if you are a workforce personnel working in an organization and you have challenges, you get paired with an executive woman to be mentored and then, you know, go back and practice the things that you learn there. We have another opportunity where we call them as Girls in Technology, where we have connected girls from high school to the women in the industry. Because another reason, Ryan, why girls are not so encouraged to take up tech as a career is they do not see enough role models in the field. 20 years back, it was rare. 10 years ago, it has started to sprout. Today, we can show some role models. And definitely, that is what we are doing in Women in Technology by connecting one-on-one the girls in high school with the women in the industry. And let me tell you, there have been lot of stories that I can talk about. This 1 hour would not be enough, but the girls have turned around. People who wanted to do music majors in high school realized that they could do tech and have gotten admission into MIT. Sure. So those kind of life-changing events is happening because of organizations like Women in Technology.
Sure. So Kaylee, I saw you wanting to respond earlier on to what Anita was saying. Go ahead.
Oh, just with regards to, you know, your statement that when that opportunity comes up, I should be happy to accept it because it's being offered to me rather than to someone else. Maybe it's just my experience, but I don't feel like I have that shortage of opportunities. I have to preferentially pick and choose which ones are only being offered to me because I'm a woman. So again, maybe okay. That's just my experience.
Sure. Well, I wanted to go ahead and bring on, because we had a couple guests that we asked to be listening to the show and wanting to jump in when they thought they felt compelled to, I guess. And one of those is Carlotta Berry. Who is with Rose Human Institute of Technology. She's a professor of electrical engineering and computer science. Carlotta, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Thanks for calling in.
I wanted to piggyback on what Dr. Raj has said. I think a big problem is the lack of mentors and role models. And we have some programs at Rose Human that help with that, such as Operation Catapult, where they're exposed to students in engineering at an earlier age. And really what we're finding is starting at middle school is just much too late. You actually have to start much younger than that. You know, you have to get them excited when they're in first and second grade. And I do robotics. So you have to find something that inspires them and use that to catch them in the math and the science.
Yeah. What are some of the other – oh, sorry. Go ahead, Anita.
You are absolutely right. In fact, when I'm not doing my day job, I'm actually the board of director for communications at Women in Technology, where the focus is classroom to boardroom. So we actually concentrate on the high school girls and upward. I'm also part of another board, which is the Fairfax County Public School System, where we instigate and encourage women, the kids to take up STEM initiatives. And the STEM initiatives not only starts at the high school level, but it trickles down to the middle school level and to the elementary school. Mm-hmm. And incidentally, I judge on the first robotic teams. So we have all levels, the elementary Lego teams for the robotics and the high school first robotics that's there. Mm-hmm. This is a complete pyramid starting from elementary school right up to the board level if you were to talk to.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and I wonder, Carlotta, what are some of the other things that work? You mentioned the robotics team. What are some of the other things that will, I guess, just get that young girl interested in this kind of industry?
Honestly, I think making the connections are really the best thing you can do. The role models are the way to go, because what you find is when I have a six-year-old daughter is what they hear once they start going to school is, you know, they hear a lot of set girls. Math is more difficult for them. So if you really encourage them that you can do this, you know, working on that self-efficacy and giving them that confidence.
Right, right. So maybe tell us a little bit more, too, about the program that you guys actually run and just some of the other examples of what happens there at Rose Human.
Well, I would tell you that we also have FIRST Robotics at my school as well. And we do the high school competition on my campus. But I also am a judge and mentor for some of the younger teams. And really what it is you sneak the engineering and the science and the math in with the robotics, because before they know it, they're having fun, and they don't realize what they're actually doing is problem solving. You know, they're actually doing the design process, and it kind of attacks you. So just by starting at that younger age and doing those type of activities with them.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other reasons that we know about why, you know, girls are not as interested when they're younger, when they're in school? There are other things about just the curriculum and the way they're guided through it, something like that, about why males are still interested maybe at a younger age, but females aren't. Anybody that has an answer to that?
I simply think we have a marketing problem. You know, if you look mostly at how engineering is advertised, it's typically kind of gender specific. And somehow that integrates into the psyche of the kids, and they're like, well, this obviously isn't for me. This is for boys. And so we have to work on that. Similar to the other person who spoke, I was one of typically three or four female students when I was in grad school and undergrad. And now that I teach, I still am.
Right, right.
So it's kind of channeling. I'm starting to find that more female students are going into computer science, biomedical engineering, and those fields. And that's because there's a perception that those branches of science and engineering are more helpful or people-oriented. And what we have to educate and market people on is that engineering, all branches are actually generated to help with society, you know. So a female can contribute no matter whether they're electrical engineer, mechanical engineer, biomedical, or whatever.
Right. Well, Carlotta, thanks a lot for calling in. I may let you go because we're having a little technical difficulties with your line, but thank you so much for that. We'll go from there if that's okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. I want to take a moment to remind our audience this is Intersection, a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. I'm Ryan Femuliner, and today we're talking about women in tech fields. There's a significantly small proportion of women in these careers in the U.S. compared to men, and we're talking about some of the possible causes and solutions. In studio today, we have Kaylee Cornelison. She's a web and application developer in Columbia. Fong Wong is an assistant professor in the computer science department at the University of Missouri, and joining us by Skype is Anita Raj. Raj is a spokesperson for the National Mentoring Organization Women in Tech, also known as WIT. We'd also love to hear from you and our audience. Do you have a story about a successful woman working in a tech job or someone who faced challenges? Share it with us. Give us a call at 573-882-8925 or email intersection@kbia.org. You can also tweet us at intersectkbia. We'd like to remind you that if you're enjoying this as a rebroadcast, you can watch Intersection as streaming video online during our live conversations every Monday afternoon at 2 at kbia.org. Also on Thursday, July 24th, you can join us for a live taping of Intersection from 7 to 8 p.m. at Leadership Auditorium at the Student Center on the MU campus. We'll be talking about doctor-patient communication in partnership with KBIA's Health and Wealth Desk. You can join the conversation in person as part of our audience. Again, that's Thursday, July 24th from 7 to 8 p.m. in Leadership Auditorium on the MU campus. Okay, we actually have another guest on the phone we're going to try to bring in, and that is Cheryl Schrader, who is actually the Chancellor of Missouri S&T in Rolla. Chancellor Schrader, you're there? Hello? Chancellor Schrader, are you there?
Yes, I am, Ryan.
Hi. Thanks very much for calling in. We appreciate it. I'm not sure if you heard what we're just going through before we joined you in here, but we were talking a little bit about, I guess, branding of the tech job, a tech industry, a tech career to young women, to students when they're in elementary and secondary school. Do you have any thoughts on that that effort, I guess?
Well, I certainly do. As the chancellor of a renowned technological research university, I'm looking at seeing how we can increase participation across all sectors, in particular being very welcoming and open to those who have traditionally been underrepresented, namely women and underrepresented ethnic minorities. The comment about bringing in a diverse group, a workforce of engineers and computer programmers and mathematicians and scientists, really means that we're more likely to find solutions that do have that ability to impact and further our society in addition to growing the economy. So, you know, many people have noticed that young women in particular respond to programs where they do see that positive impact on people, where they have understand that they have the ability to help society, and in particular in the areas of health and environment and energy and quality of life. So some of your other guests have spoken to emphasizing the application and the end, as opposed to talking about math or science or some of the standard tools that we use to accomplish our tasks. I want to point out that at Missouri S&T, as a very good example, we have a group of organization of students that's called Engineers Without Borders. And they actually work with bringing some very basic impacts on quality of life, such as fresh and clean water, to villages that really need that impact. And we found out that roughly 40% of the members of Engineers Without Borders are women, and roughly 90% of the leaders are also women. So in addition to having the mentors and the role models, that ability to actually apply what you're learning in the classroom and really change somebody's life has that ability to just transform our younger generation.
Sure. And Chancellor Schrader, we just have about 30 seconds here before we have to go to the break. Any other thoughts you had, I guess, just about other changes, especially, I guess, at the secondary level and at the higher education level, about what other ideas there might be out there?
Well, absolutely. We need to look at this as the education across the K through grade continuum. At Missouri S&T, we work with over 300 teachers, elementary through 12th grade, to help understand engineering and biomedical science opportunities and applications through elementary and secondary education. We're starting a new STEM-focused elementary education program this fall, which will produce more elementary education teachers, very proficient in math and science and able to reach children where they are, kindergarten onwards.
Okay.
And similarly, we host a number of summer camps.
That's
There's
great.
About 18 summer camps
Chancellor
going
Schrader,
on
I'm
in
have
the
to...
STEM fields at S&T this summer.
That's great, Chancellor Schrader. I'm going to have
role
to...
models.
I'm going to have to cut you off there. I'm sorry, Chancellor Schrader. That's all the time we have. We're going to have to take a quick break. This is Intersection. We'll be right back after this short break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Intersection, a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. I'm Ryan Famulner, and today we're talking about women in tech fields. There's a significantly small proportion of women in these careers in the U.S., and we're talking about some of the possible causes and solutions. In studio today, we have Kaylee Cornelson. She is a web and application developer in Columbia. Fong Wong is an assistant professor in the Computer Science Department at the University of Missouri, and joining us by Skype is Anita Raj. Raj is a spokesperson for the National Mentoring Organization Women in Tech, also known as WIT. And for you and our audience, what challenges do you think need to take place for this problem to be addressed? Share your thoughts. Give us a call at 573-882-8925 or email intersection@kbia.org. You could also tweet us at intersectkbia or join our online chat. And so, Kaylee, we were passing the topic around before we went to the break there about branding toward young women who may be interested in this field. I wondered your thoughts on it as well.
Sure. I mean, in my experience, it's been, you know, we've been talking a lot about science and STEM and getting women more involved in the mathematics and in the engineering. And, you know, from my perspective, it's really less about getting them into the math and the engineering, because so little of what I do is actually that really hardcore math. I had to take calculus for my degree, but I've never actually used it. It's really, you know, it's more about building something, and it's you know, working with clients and creating things that work with their needs. And there's so many, you know, workplace training systems once you do get that job opportunity that, you know, I feel like from a very young girl's perspective, I mean, my youngest sister is 13, and I got her doing Ruby and Python, which are two programming languages, about 2 years ago, and she's just been gangbusters on it. It's really less about saying, you know, oh, hey, well, you know, math is hard, but this isn't math, and, you know, trying to sort of trick them into that new approach to those really hard sciences, and less about showing them what this kind of field really can be, which is very creative, very, you know, complex thinking and problem solving and addressing problems critically, and it's just a different perspective.
All right. Another thing we haven't really talked about, I think it'd be good to jump into now. We've talked a lot about this education aspect of this, but there's another discussion that goes on around women in tech, and that is the industry itself and the culture there. You know, like some people have actually given, as this reporting has happened in the last few months after Google and Yahoo released this data, there's been a lot of, you know, anecdotes about, you know, overt sexism or other discrimination in the workplace, things like that, and just the general culture of the tech industry. I wonder your thoughts on that, anyone at the table here, about how that affects the amount of women we see in tech.
Let me take let me take that topic up because yes, definitely, tech industry is very male dominant, and you do get that feeling that you are always surrounded by men, and they are the ones who can actually create the software. The women are there to actually use the computer tool. But let me tell you, recently, like I said, about a decade ago, many women are coming up, and more women are actually creating software, and more women are getting into the programming aspect of it, and they are getting recognition. Here in the DC area itself, there are a lot of professional associations who are encouraging what Kaylee talked about. She encouraged her younger sister to do Python. So here we had a group of about 100 women who got together and actually had a tech hackathon kind of a meeting where they could teach each other the tech skills that are really required. And these are some of the initiatives that we in Women in Technology are providing to our younger generation, so that by the time they are ready to come into the workforce, they are not shy or they are not intimidated, and they feel that they can be part of the workforce at par with the male counterparts. So I moving forward, I think rosier days are ahead for women who are choosing tech. Just look at what the Department of Labor is talking about. We need at least about, I think they have set aside about 1.4 million computer specialist jobs by 2020. And if that's the kind of demand that we have, we in the industry as women are encouraging to see that more and more women can get trained and, you know, utilize these things. So there should be no such thing as why students should not take tech as a subject in college in order to get into the technology industry. There is tons and tons of job opportunity in this area, and definitely women are welcome.
I wonder too, Kaylee or Wong or Fong rather. Do you think what are your experiences? I guess about with that aspect of it, the culture of the industry and the people you're working with. There's a lot of research that shows many women will actually more women than men will leave careers in the tech field, like a large proportion more. So there's of course any variety of reasons that could be, but some have said one of those reasons is not feeling like they fit into that culture. I wonder just any impressions of from your experiences or experiences maybe of your colleagues.
I just want to talk about the job opportunities. I do see that there are quite, I mean, the job growth in the tech industry. So, I mean, definitely that's very encouraging for everyone, including female, to enter in the field. But one thing I noticed, for instance, engineering requires hard work, require persistence. I don't think women are lack of those. But, like, for instance, the encouragement, the recognition, those things are kind of lack. But compared to other fields, for instance, for medical field, you have a lot of females entering, and probably the ratio in medical school are not as bad as in engineering school. From that sense, I think the job, like the perspective, the income, also make some differences for women entering those fields.
Okay. Kaylee, I
would just like to add, let me just say that many women who are actually the statistics show that they are leaving. It's not because they are afraid of hard work or the technology industry as such. It's because at some point they feel stalled in their careers. And this feeling when they feel they are stalled and they are not getting their promotion, that can be, an effect saying that they lose hope. So it's because of losing hope that they quit, and more so because if they are, the environment that they're working on, that they are not getting promotion, they are getting replaced by other young women, other young men over them. So that is what is leading to them quitting because of the stalled feeling in the career. But however, they enter the career in terms of being able to do exactly the type of work that they can do. It's the sustainability is what we are talking about. For example, let me tell you, when we mentored a few women, there was one woman who came from a very large organization. She was very competent, very efficient. She came back to the mentoring session and said, I'm very frustrated at my work, because obviously she couldn't talk about that in her organization, but Women in Technology was an association which was away from their organization, and in all confidentiality she was able to share with us the problem that she had. And after having talked to a few mentors in the Women in Technology Association, 6 months later she came back and said, you know what, I have decided to stay on in my company, and I adhere to whatever advices I got from you, and today I have got a promotion and I'm continuing with it. So these are more in terms of, you need the psychological confidence that you can do it, and those kind of things are the issue that you need to work with women, because women are wired much differently from men. Men can do jobs individually, but women need a collective team to get the work done.
Okay. Kaylee, I wonder your thoughts on some of what was just said, and I guess too, just again, the question of since you're a new person, relatively new, coming into this industry, just your view on the culture that you're coming into and how that may affect your career prospects, that kind of thing.
Sure. Culture is a really loaded word in the tech industry. And it seems like, right now it's such an exciting time, because we've got this huge shift from sort of, the perspective that Anita's been offering, and sort of this, women in corporations, women seeking promotions, women in like these larger organizations. And really in tech right now, what we're seeing is this increasing trend to these smaller and smaller companies. We've got this startup bubble. We've got, really all you need is to be passionate about an idea. And with the prevalence of the internet and Twitter and these communication methods, you have so many resources available to you that, I've been to conferences all over the country, and I found that within the confines of sort of those smaller, newer, fresher, younger organizations, I've never had a negative experience based on my gender. I've never felt that, within those sort of up-and-coming groups of people who are really on that cutting edge, who are really getting into it, who are really doing the work. You know, if you can do the work, no one's going to look twice at what bathroom you use. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel pigeonholed at all, though, that you – is part of why you're interested in it? It's mainly because it's interesting that it's these, the startup culture and all that. Is that really what interests you, or is it also maybe tough to know that there is that culture in those larger companies that, you know, that, again, all these – statistics we're talking about, mm-hmm. It's definitely male dominated. I mean, does it feel like, is that like your best available option as well? Or is that not really your motivation there?
Well, and this is really where that culture comes into play, because mm-hmm. there are those companies where, you know, there's this huge gender disparity. There's all are those companies where, you know, you have to apply to your manager for your promotion, where you have to bill your hours, where you have to work these times, where there's an office dress code. And, you know, I feel like the situation with regards to women in tech, specifically in these organizations being, you know, turned down for promotions and maybe they're not making enough money, goes hand in hand with that same kind of, you know, older school traditional approach to businesses and industries.
Right.
So why would I want to work someplace like that?
And actually, a very, very good point that you talked about. Yes, definitely. There are a lot of women in the entrepreneur field. However, I'm very happy to hear that that's the success we are seeing. And that's what I said, in the last decade, the women have come into the tech world and have been capturing it like anything. And I do see a bright future. What happens is there are entrepreneurs, not only women and men out there. So when you are seeking funding, venture capital funding, that's where you as a woman have to show what you can build, rather than this hype about talking about the gender gap and everything. As long as you have something proven to show and exhibit, any entrepreneur can get the kind of funding you need from the ventures, and that's really taking off. And I'm really happy to see that that's happening in the industry today.
Great. We actually have Cheryl Schrader called back in, the Chancellor of Missouri S&T. Chancellor Schrader, thank you again for calling back in. Sorry we had to let you go so quickly there at the break. I'm told the producer said you wanted to comment here on this part of the conversation as well.
Well, certainly. I think in terms of having mentors and role models, that's very, very important. Often we don't pay attention to also highlighting those leadership accomplishments of other women. So being able to capture and highlight leadership experiences is important, not only in our own professional development, but in those that follow after us. I think an important point is to take advantage of professional organizations, such as the one that Anitha represents, Women in Technology, because of the networking opportunities. And then finally, I want to point out how critical this is for us in the state of Missouri. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics says that Missouri will have an additional 143,000 STEM jobs to fill by 2018. And we're going to have to be very creative about doing that and bring in the contributions of people across the spectrum.
Sure. So how do you think we'll fill those needs? I mean, obviously, for being the chancellor at a school that really focuses on engineering, that's a bright sign of the future, right? But how do you think are we prepared to fill those needs here in Missouri, particularly with women?
Yes, we are. And I can tell you that at Missouri S&T, we're making great strides in the number of women who are interested, not only at the college level, but also beginning in kindergarten onward. In the city of Rolla, we now have 7 first robotics group that start at the kindergarten age. And so very early on, people are understanding that the STEM disciplines are very creative. And that children are born engineers, and what we need to do is encourage and foster that aptitude for discovery and help people understand how they too will have that opportunity to truly make a difference.
So did I hear you right? Robotics at the kindergarten age?
Absolutely.
That's right.
The first robotics organization is not just for the high school level. It starts with kindergarten through third or fourth grade, and there's actually 4 different levels that move students all the way to international competitions.
Wow, interesting. Let me remind our audience, this is Intersection, a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. I'm Ryan Femuelner, and today we're talking about women in tech fields. There's a significantly small proportion of women in these careers in the U.S. compared to men, and we're talking about some of the possible causes and solutions. In studio today, we have Kaylee Cornelison. She is a web and application developer in Columbia. Fong Wong is an assistant professor in the Computer Science Department at the University of Missouri. Joining us by Skype is Anita Raj. Raj is a spokesperson for the National Mentoring Organization Women in Tech, also known as WIT. And Cheryl Schrader, the chancellor of Missouri S&T and RALA, is joining us by phone. We'd like to hear from you and our audience as well. What do you think would help young women get involved and interested in tech at a younger age, even while they're still kids? Let us know by giving us a call at 573-882-8925 or email intersection@kbia.org. You could also tweet us at intersectkbia. Cheryl, you joined us as we were talking a little bit more about also just the culture in general in the existing tech industry, especially at these big corporations. Many of your graduates, of course, are going to those corporations as well. What's your take on that situation as well, and how that impacts the amount of women that can enter this field?
Well, I think what's most interesting is these studies came to light most recently because of the need to foster an environment for innovation. And as I mentioned previously, we really need to work at having that diverse group that is exploring solutions. And that will help us in many, many ways, including improving our quality of life, but also nationally, really seeing that we increase our economic vitality and our global competitiveness as well. But we cannot forget that those STEM contributors in science, technology, engineering, and math really have an impact on health, energy, environment, and our day-to-day living.
You know, we can go back kind of to step one here. There's some people that said, be careful to call this a problem, right? Because that's giving weight to one side or the other. Like, why is it important that there be more women in this industry? Seems like a pretty vague question, but it's kind of open-ended by its nature. Why is it important that we have more than we do right now? What do women specifically offer to this industry that's missing right now, I guess, as well?
Ryan, if I can jump in on
that. Yeah, go ahead.
I think that we need to take a look at who has traditionally entered these fields, and traditionally, at least in the United States, and certainly in Missouri, there's a preponderance of white males who've been in these areas, which has been wonderful. They've just contributed greatly. In the state of Missouri, however, the numbers of students graduating from high school are declining, and in particular, those percentages of our high school graduates who are not those, who've traditionally gone into these areas continues to increase. So we are looking at a challenge in that, and in order to bring in those companies into the state of Missouri to continue to support the growth of those existing companies, we have to be reaching out and bringing people into the STEM disciplines who can continue to expand on the applications and grow our resources.
Kaylee, I saw you perk up a bit when I asked that question.
Would you just restate?
Basically, just why is it important that more women be in this industry?
I mean, I don't necessarily. And please let me finish before anybody, jumps too far ahead. I don't necessarily think it's important per se to encourage women specifically in the tech industry. What I think is the most important is that we realize that this is a place where people are really able to excel. I think it's such an up-and-coming field, and there's so much opportunity here, and we're never going to be able to fill that need without everybody being involved, which is why it's so important to be inclusive of women, people of ethnic descent, people from other countries, immigrants. And so really any sort of failing there to integrate all the people who may want to pursue this field is just going to end up with us not being able to fill that need and move forward the way that I feel like we need to.
I'm absolutely in agreement.
Okay. So Cheryl says she agrees. Anita, I heard you trying to jump in as well.
I agree to both of the opinions that you have voiced. It is a simple reason, because the industry is crying out loud for talent in the tech world. Gone are the days that you cannot live with computers. As you move forward, every aspect of the industry, whether it is tech or non-tech, touches computers. So what better way to have people train in the tech world and then be available for job opportunities? So since there is so much demand in this area of tech industry, and women are coming more and more, becoming more involved in the workforce, so why not force them into taking the tech industry as the means to be able to fulfill the jobs? So I think that is where the big noise is coming, because historically it has been a male-dominant field, and today there are job opportunities in the tech world. So why not encourage women to take on that opportunity and fill the gap that we have today?
And Chancellor Schrader, do you want to jump in, since you both tried to start there at the same time? I don't know if you had anything else you wanted to add.
No, absolutely. In order to address that workforce shortage, which is a big, big challenge for us in Missouri and nationally, we need to bring in, increase participation across the board. And when I talk about diversity, I'm talking about that in so many different ways, including age, geographical location, gender, ethnicity, because we all bring different experiences and skills to bear. And for those who are used to brainstorming in terms of finding optimal solutions, the wider your perspective and the greater the diversity of thought, the better your results will be.
Is there a reason why that hasn't been the case up until now? I mean, again, we're looking at these statistics. Why is that a change that needs to happen? Doesn't it seem like that should happen in the first place?
Well, I think what's happening is the very large workforce shortage that's really shaking our foundations in terms of our economic vitality and competitiveness as a nation. And so there have been some short-term strategies to address that in the past. But simply the numbers, and as Anita suggested, that the fact that every job and career in some way is going to require a technical literacy, it has really compounded the problem and made us be more creative in our solutions.
And rightly so, when you talk about, the collaboration. In fact, since I've been in this industry for more than three decades, earlier we used to be working in our silos. We could produce solutions by just working on our own. But today, in order to provide solutions that are really, helpful to the community, it needs a lot of collaboration in the work environment. And I think that is where you are coming from when you talked about, teaching them how to learn from anybody, whether it is local or global. That helps you how to collaborate and work together in the industry in order to bring in solutions which can be utilized by the community.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned globally. That was one thing I was curious about too, and I think, Fong, you have some perspective on this. How things differ between this phenomenon we've been talking about today in the U.S. and what we see in other countries, particularly China, I guess, the perspective you could tell us. But is this a unique problem to the U.S. or something we see elsewhere as well?
Well, I guess there one sentence that Kayleigh had said actually resonated with me. She said there are so many opportunities in the States. That's true. In fact, like back in China, engineering or technology considered as a very well respected, good income career. So, a lot of no matter girls and boys, the parents are encouraging them to enter in those fields. I guess in the States, you do have a lot of opportunities, and I had witnessed when I was working in industry how hard it is to recruit a qualified engineer. So at the time, no one's talking about this as a female engineer or a male engineer. We just want a qualified engineer. So I would say that for girls, yes. When you are so much talent in female students, so I think we should utilize that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. We just have a few minutes left in the show. I guess just in general, I wanted to get some parting thoughts from anyone who wants to share them, just about what needs to change, I guess, related to the topic we've been talking about so far. If something, you know, just each of you take a minute here, and what would you like to see change to address the issue we're talking about today? Kaylee, why don't we start with you?
I think that the number one thing that has to change is the perception of, you know, technology and programming and development and that kind of thing as something that's hard, as something that, you know, needs like all of these background skills. And we really need to address it specifically for young girls, as, you know, what she was discussing about the robotics program, more like play. It's such a fun, interesting, explorative field that really needs to be emphasized, especially to kids.
I don't know. Anita, I guess you next.
Yes, I can go. I have a few points that I would like to emphasize. Definitely, I agree with what Kaylee said. And over and above, when we talk about women in the technology industry, we are still going through a phase of overcoming the challenges. So when you are overcoming your challenges, reach out to women associations, if that makes a sense, or any other association in the tech industry where you can network and seek help in order to overcome what the challenges are. Don't be shy to do that. The next thing is to share whatever you have. Please do share. That is the key to your success. And always have a positive attitude and see the glass half full. And I would say, be yourself. Gone are the days where we used to be acting like men to fit into the men's environment. Do not do that. Be yourself. Develop something in the tech world with passion. Enjoy and have fun. And if all that still you need, seek a mentor and you will be on your right path.
Fong or Chancellor Schrader, anything you wanted to add?
Well, I'll go ahead and and echo that I believe what we're really looking at is a bit of a culture change in the way we are open to thinking of those in science, technology, engineering, math in a very broad context, in terms of advertising or in terms of the media or television. We often pigeonhole the STEM workers, the engineer, the computer scientist, and portray that as perhaps some career that is not as influential with people and is not as important and critical to our growth as a nation and also growth in our quality of life. So I would encourage everybody to really think about when you're speaking to girls, when you're speaking to young boys and encouraging them to pursue opportunities in technology, that we are open and inclusive, and that's from the parents to the teachers to the mentors and to those role models in industry.
Okay, and that'll have to be it for today's intersection. That's all the time we have. Thanks to our guests, Kaylee Cornelison. She's a web and application developer in Columbia. Fong Wong is an assistant professor in the computer science department at the University of Missouri. Joining us by Skype is Anita Raj. Raj is a spokesperson for the National Mentoring Organization Women in Tech, also known as WIT. Carlotta Berry and Cheryl Schrader joined us by phone today. Thanks to those of you who enjoyed this rebroadcast. Intersection takes place live for a full hour from 2 to 3 every Monday afternoon. Intersection is produced by Janet Saidi, Maureen Lewis-Stump, and Austin Federa. Travis McMillan is our technical director with production assistance from Lowell Thomas. Pat Akers is our audio producer. Executive directors are Mike Dunn and Mike McKean. I'm Ryan Famuliner. Thanks for joining us today, and have a great week.